First Thessalonians 5, verse 11.
Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. And in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. And abstain from all appearances of evil. Precious Lord, you give us the formula in your word and how we can rejoice evermore. You say we ought to pray without ceasing. We ought to give thanks in everything. We ought not quench the spirit. We ought to despise not the preaching of the gospel. We ought to test it. We ought to prove all things by the word of God. Hold fast to that which is good and run from all appearances of evil. Father God, give us strength and wisdom to do it. We know it's only found in your word. And you said to the preachers and to the teachers, preach Christ and him crucified, and prepare your people to be discerning, filling with the wisdom of the word of the word of God, and preach hard to them. Let them not despise, and let not the hearers despise good, sound, biblical preaching. Father, we thank you for all you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just want to continue. I don't know, maybe next week, maybe one more week, just preaching on the joy of the Christian life. It's festive time of year. And I look at the newspaper and turn on the news, and you see all the festivals everywhere. This weekend, last weekend, you had the Columbiana Fair and the Trumbull County Fair and Mount Carmel and the Greek festivals and the Italian festivals downtown, and Rocket Night was in Cleveland, and Tiger Woods was at Firestone, and the Hall of Fame, and everybody had the parades going on. Everything going on, and the folks going through a lot to get through it. Seeing folks 6-7 rows deep, 90 degree heat, watching Tiger. Cleveland Indians Stadium sold out for the second night in a row. Folks just sitting out there in that heat. The festivals are packed with people. Yeah. Mount Carmel Festival, all downtown, was just crowded with people. It was just a festive time. But the real joy should be found in God's house. The real joy should be found among God's people. Among those who know Jesus Christ and know him as Savior and Lord. We ought to be the ones that really show the world how to live the joyful life, to be happy, to be happy. Ask Teddy just to talk, just for a little bit, because I kind of knew what she was going to say, because she's going to still rejoice. Amen. And if you can't rejoice in the bad times, how are you going to rejoice in the good times? Paul said, I know how to abound in a base. I know how to party and celebrate when I'm doing well, and I can celebrate in a sale. I can celebrate just as hard. Paul probably celebrated better in a cell than he did when he was out. He wrote most of his writings while locked up. But what Paul is saying here in 1 Thessalonians, he gives you the formula if you want to rejoice evermore. He gives you the formula. Now I just want to look at it a little bit. We know it. But in verse 14, and I'll start there, he said, we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Warn them. How do we warn them? Through the preaching of the word. through the preaching of the word. And you got three types of people in every church. Paul's writing to a church. He said, warn the unruly. He got some unruly folks in church. Anybody ever met some unruly folks in church? Oh, yeah. He said, comfort the feeble-minded. How about that? Comfort the ones that are struggling. The ones that are going through and may not have the faith that you have. May not have the strength that you have. May not have the experience that you have. May not be rooted and grounded in the word like you are. And the word of God said, don't kick them to the curb. He said, sir, he said, comfort them. That word comfort means strengthen them. Anybody here need strength? Yeah, you can have the strongest faith, and you can have the strongest faith and the strongest love for the Lord. But guess what? You're still gonna have trials and adversity and trouble in your life, and you may weaken. This world can weaken you. Paul says that we ought to comfort the feeble-minded, those that are maybe without the hope. And maybe struggling with their faith. And maybe not even saved. And maybe still wondering whether I'm going to accept Jesus Christ or not. And maybe, you know, I don't like to use the word because I don't believe in it. But you may have some people straddling the fence. How do we comfort them? Preach the word to them. Preach Jesus Christ, him crucified. I heard it prayed. We got to make sure we preach the right Jesus to them. Amen. There's no comfort in preaching folks the false gospel. There's no comfort in preaching folks lies, and like that they said in Isaiah, the people didn't want to hear the word of God. They say, preach unto us smooth things. And really, they said, preach unto us smooth things. Things that are easy to accept. Okay? Easy to do. Really. Let me read the verse. I just think it's important. So I'm going to stop here and I'm going to turn to Isaiah 30. And if you would turn to Isaiah 30, it just talks about the time we stay in right now. And I get on this feeble-minded and weak. And a lot of people are weak for different reasons. And the pastors are weak. You know, this pastor will have times of weakness and times of trouble. But the prophet Isaiah is writing. He said that this is a rebellious people. Anybody can relate to that? Mm-hmm. Everybody go to church ain't saved. Amen. The church is full of folks that's not saved and folks that are rebellious and folks that really tell their preachers what they want to hear. Tell them what they want to preach, and a lot of preachers know what they people want to preach by what they know they're doing. A lot of pastors know what their church is doing. They know what their membership is doing. Uh-huh. He said, this is a rebellious people, lying children. How about that one? Lying children. Children that will not hear the law of the Lord. Watch this now. We had that going on in our world. You talk about it all the time. Churches don't want to hear the word of God no more. Mm-hmm. They turn the church into a playground for them. Just to attract them, you got to have bounce around and you got to have all kind of stuff going on, movie nights, and you got to bring all the secular movies into the church so we can get the young people to come in. And they don't want to hear the word of God. You know, I don't. When I think about Daniel and the three Hebrew boys, I just wonder what they heard. What made them different? What made them different? I wonder if they had to bounce around. Yeah. And Daniel and the three Hebrew boys, there might have been 150 of them, and only these four stood out and stood for something and put their life on the line for it. Look at verse 10. Here's the people that's telling the preachers. The seers is the prophets. And the prophet's job was to do what? Preach the word. Declare what thus say the Lord. Okay? But they had control over these prophets. And this is what they said to them. They say to the seers, see not. See not what? Don't see what we're doing. Act like you don't see what we're doing. Act like you don't see how we're living. Okay? See not, and to the prophets prophesy not unto us. Are y'all with me? Prophesy not unto us right things. We don't want to hear the word of God. We don't want to know what God's word says. We don't know what God's telling us to do. Prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Some of y'all like smoothies. You know, that's hot now. You know, people, I don't know where it came from. When, you know, give us a smoothie. I guess you can drink it real fast, go down easy. See, we came up and we go to Dairy Queen and get them to freeze things, and they give you brain freeze. You drink them too fast. So now they come out with smoothies. You probably could drink two or three of them, and I know they're high in calories. But the word of God says, preach to us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. How about that? Prophesy lies. Tell us lies. That's really what they're saying. Mm-hmm. Tell us lies. Mm-hmm. Tell us lies. We don't want to hear the truth. They didn't want to be free. Because we know the truth do what? Set you free. Don't want to be free. Or make you free. I talk to young people all the time, and we talk about the things of God. And they get to a point where, okay, if I accept that teaching, if I accept that Jesus you're talking about, what's going to do? It's going to cause me to do something. I said it this morning in Sunday school, when the men came to Jesus, they wanted to follow Jesus, and they said, well, first I got to go home and tell my friends goodbye. I got to go home and bury my father. And what did Jesus say? Let the dead bury the dead. Let the dead bury the dead. Listen, folks. Render. I'm back to 1 Thessalonians. You comfort the weak and the feeble-minded by preaching the word of God to them. That's what Paul's saying. He said in his word, he said to the weak. That's 1 Corinthians 9. He said, to the weak I became weak that I might gain them. That's, you know, I know you go to some church and they preach, they're just they're expositional, doctrinal. They go straight through the word of God, you know, verse by verse through Romans. It would take the average preacher, if he did it correctly, 2 years to go through Romans verse by verse. But that don't apply to every church. I can sit here and say, well, I'm going to preach all the way through the book of Romans with this church, and some of us need to be supported. Some of us need to know the basics of the gospel, okay, before we can delve off into those deep doctrinal books. First of all, some of us need to be strengthened, strong, and in preaching the gospel should ignite that desire in you. I want to learn the deep things about God. I want to learn the deep things about God. And when you preach the word of God to the weak, it says, support the weak. Lift them up. Lift them up. Some of us going to go through. This is why I sit here and pray. When Claire bury her husband and Teddy's going through some different things, and all of us go through times of weakness. And what do? I think we do a good job at it. Support the weak. Lift them up. Show them the love of God. Support him how? I tell you, hey, listen, stand on the word of God. I said this to Rita as he gets ready to bury her brother. I said, Rita, even in your burying your brother, and I know we can, you know, glorify God in it. Amen. We still can give God glory in our weakness. Amen. Even in our weakness, we ought to give God glory, because we know something that the world don't know. We have something that the world don't have. And the Bible said we ought not mourn like the world that has no what? No hope. We have hope. We have faith. And having hope and faith and a love for the things of God changes us. Because the dying world, the lost world is looking for light. We talked about it in Vacation Bible School, shine for Jesus. You are the light of the world. We're the only light some folks gonna see, and they watch us hard when we going through. Because anybody can celebrate and have joy when things is going fine. Let's keep going. See that none render evil for evil unto any man. Why? Because the word of God said, vengeance is mine, say the Lord. I will repay. So we ain't got time for that. If you're going to serve God, you ain't got time to be worried about vengeance. We watch all the movies. Every movie is about the big payback anymore. Okay? My daughter got kidnapped. I'll kill my family. I'm going to get them all. And then go through the whole movie and they kill up 15, 20 people. Yep. And that's and we bring that to church because we incorporate that. We Netflixing and we watching all this killer, bang, 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 bang. Then we come to church, we're going to kill people. And usually just the preachers and the leaders of the church get killed first. See the non render evil for evil. I'm going to get to this joy rejoicing part. But ever follow that which is good. What is good? God is good.
Amen.
God is good. What did Paul say earlier in the Philippians church? Follow me as I follow Christ. God is good and he's good to follow. But ever follow that which is good among yourself, both among yourselves and to all men. Now here's our verse. Rejoice. Rejoice evermore. Now, I know some people get on me because I come to church. I come to church. I'll be happy to get here. I'll be here early, too. I'll be here early. I pop up and I get to church early. I'm happy to be here. Like I said, all my friends is here. This is all I have. Okay? Because this is all I have. So when Blanche decides she want to go to Florida for 2 weeks and 3 weeks and a month and stuff, you know, my wife says she want to go to New York and Dave going to North Carolina, and all at the same time, you know. Then I'm all alone. Rejoice evermore. What's that word rejoice? When you hear the word rejoice, what comes to mind? Happy. Happy. Now, the next two verses shows you how to rejoice. Some of us don't know how to rejoice. Some of us walk around, we don't know how to rejoice. And I heard it. I heard it today. I heard it already. We can rejoice in the fact that we've been born again.
Amen.
I sit here and you know, if I can get through a sermon without John 3:16, y'all just tell me. Somebody wave, hey, you didn't say John 3:16 today. Because that's our formula. We rejoice in the fact that we believe. That God gave us the faith to believe. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that alone is where our rejoicing lies. If you can't rejoice in the fact that God saved your soul and gave you the power to believe in it, when you die, you're going to go to heaven. And you're going to be with the Lord. That's something to rejoice about. Paul says this. He said, rejoice evermore. What's that mean? Good and the bad. Mm-hmm. Ups and the downs. Okay? Trouble come, rejoice in it. What did James say? I count it all joy. Okay? Watch this now. Here's how you rejoice. You pray without ceasing. You got a situation? The fact that you are in a relationship with God, you can pray to God and you can say, God, listen, this situation too big for me. Turn it over to you. Or give me the strength to deal with it. Okay? Pray without ceasing. Some of us ought to be praying now. Something come to mind. Something you got going on. You got an appointment next week. You got something going on. You got something going on that you know is going to give you trouble. Don't wait till it comes. Start praying for it in advance. Amen. Start praying in advance for it. I think about it all the time. You guys hear me say it all the time. I think about you guys. I see a car like Ann drives. Her car, I see a lot of those. I think about it. I see it when I was thinking about Ann. Yeah. Pray for Ann. Pray for them little girls. Woo, they ain't so little no more. Okay? They growing up. I say, Ann need prayer. No, she do. I don't have to sit there. I don't even need to know what's going on. I just know she need prayer.
Amen.
Okay? I ride by the Catholic Church this week. I think about Davita. So I pray for Davita. And I see her teeth on Wednesday night. She just be smiling anymore. There's a time she used to come to church. She didn't smile. Amen. Now she's smiling a little bit. Laughing a little bit. Amen. Being disruptive. Amen. Taking us to U-turns and Bible studies and stuff. But you know. God bless her. She in God's house.
Amen.
There was a time she didn't come. Now she didn't. Now when she don't come, we miss her.
Amen.
And we don't sit here and we underestimate that. We underestimate that. And we know God is working in all of us. And he's working in her a certain way. He's working in me a certain way. He's working in Lori a certain way. He's working all of us different ways. And when I name all those names and I think about all this stuff, then we got reason to pray without ceasing.
Amen.
Find out what we do. You ride by a fire station. You ride by a fire station. Think about Jake. He got the two babies back there. Jackie, she probably at the mall now. He need prayer. Jackie said, I want a swimming pool now, Jake. See, Jackie get everything she wants. She get everything she wants. And she said, I want a swimming pool. Not no little one you blow up. I want an in-ground pool, Jake. What's the point? We need prayer.
Amen.
All of us need prayer. Okay? And when we think about Jake, we think about, you know, we think about firemen, we think about Jake. Any time. Two firemen just died last week somewhere and fighting a fire in the mountains, you know. We don't know. Stuff happened. They shot at some firemen in Youngstown not too long ago.
Uh-huh.
Pray for me. You see the pictures, you know, y'all know I work at a jail. Y'all know I work at a prison. I ain't been there in 50 days. I got to go back Monday. I got to go back tomorrow for the first time. 50 days, have 50-day vacation. I know some of y'all a little envious of that, but I done my time, you know? I done my time. I got 50 days. They say you get 50 vacation days a year, so I can take it all at once, yes? So I take it all at once. And I got to go back tomorrow. So keep me in prayer. So what I'm saying is I give you all these reasons to pray without ceasing. Okay? All these reasons to pray without ceasing. You have them. You have them. You want to have joy. I'm talking about biblical joy. Okay? Biblical joy not going to be found at the Greek fest or at the Italian fest or at the Briar Hill fest. That's superficial joy.
Amen.
Okay? The real joy comes from your relationship with God. It comes from your having a strong, committed prayer life. Real joy. Real joy. The world don't offer you real joy. Okay? See, here's David. And I know I've covered some of this, but you want to talk about real joy. Watch this now. Real joy. Psalm 32 and 1. This verse comes to mind. And this is the scripture I use when I eulogize my father. It says in Psalm 32 and 1, now it says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. To know that we've lived all these years and some of us come to the Lord and later in life. No, I did. I wasn't born saved. I wasn't sprinkled at birth. Okay. I wasn't born in the church. My parents didn't take me to church every Sunday. Okay? So I had a lot that needed covered. Okay? Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is what? Covered. You know what Satan want to do? Uncover it. He want to uncover it. Watch this now. Watch this. Here's David. David was a great sinner. See, we ought to be joyful because David is in the Bible. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about that David. This David. Uh-huh. King David. He was a great sinner. Okay? David did some stuff. And you know what God said? David was a man after God's heart. And I'm glad he used David. I tell you this all the time. If he would have used Daniel, if he would have used Joseph, we'd have had some problems. Okay? Because you got to look hard to find sin in Daniel's life and Joseph's life. Okay? Written. But David, God said David's a man after my own heart. We know he had an affair with Bathsheba. He killed his husband. I mean, tried to cover it up, counted the people. I mean, God called him a bloody man. But this is what David wrote. He said, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputed not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Watch this now. And when I kept silent, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned unto drought of summer. This is what David was going through when he didn't acknowledge his sin. Now watch this down. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. How about that? David was a great sinner, and God forgave him of everything. And rest assured, when you get to heaven, you'll see David. If you get to heaven, you don't see David, you probably be in the wrong place. Okay? You get there and say, where's David? Where's King David at? He ain't here. Well, you might check the address. Okay? See, now, I'm going to jump to 1 John. We talk about cover. There's a big word in the Bible, and I struggle with it. I always try to get somebody else to read it when I get a text like this, but it's called propitiation. And that word means covered. That's what Jesus did when he died. He covered our sins. Covered our sins. Remember when the Egyptians was chasing the Israelites to the Red Sea? And then, you know, and I know I'm doing the Charlton Heston thing, and I watched the movie, you know, Ten Commandments, and this is what I got. But they got to the edge of the sea. Moses put the rod out, the sea parted, and all the Israelites started going across. And then when the Egyptians tried to go across, what happened? Came down on them, covered them. And that's the sense of that word, propitiation. It's a covering. Now watch what John says. And I have two verses that use that word. But here's 1 John 4:10. We know it. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Not his. For our sins. For our sins. He sent his son to do what? To cover our sins. To cover our sins. What kind of love is that? What kind of love is that? It's the love of God. Romans 3:25, whom God hath set for to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. You just don't get it. You got to have faith in what God did by sending his son to die on Calvary's cross. It's not that easy. Whosoever believeth. But believe what? You got to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, who was born of a virgin and who died on Calvary's cross without sin and was buried and rose on the third day. And now he covered you. Whom God sent, who God hath set to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. To declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Here we go, that word again, forbearance of God. Joy. Joy. How about this one? Here's First John. John, remember, John was talking to these folks. They was all confused. The Gnostics that came in and started talking to them about Jesus Christ wasn't real. Jesus wasn't a real person. He was just a myth. He was just a ghost. It was just a spirit. And it wasn't Jesus that died on the cross and all that. And this great apostle John, who was on the island of Patmos, had to come and talk to these folks. Get them right. And this is what he says. 1 John 1 and 3 says, "And that which we have seen and heard, declare unto you," about this, "that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." Now watch this now. John came back, this great apostle, he came back to tell them that Jesus truly walked the earth. They had seen him. They understood him. They had talked to him. They had a relationship with him. They had a fellowship with him. And he said, you can have fellowship with him through us. Even though he's gone, his spirit lives on. And when you accept him as Lord and Savior, your fellowship with him begins. And he says this, verse 4, "In these things write we unto you." Why? Why, John? "That your joy may be full." And we as Americans, we like things full. Okay? You will have a fit if you go to the McDonald's and they give you a half a cup of coffee or half a iced tea. Okay? You're gonna have a fit. Most folks say, "I don't even put no ice in it," because they'll fill it up with ice. So I hear people all the time, "Don't put no ice. They just want a full cup of iced tea." I know McDonald's is cringes. Because they know they losing money. Listen, why shouldn't we want our joy full? Why shouldn't we want our joy full? Think about that. Why shouldn't we want our joy full? Okay? We want everything full. And as believers, we ought to be joyful. We ought to be so joyful. Somebody bump us to us. Somebody say something to us. We ought not be like what they got going on between LeBron and Trump. You know, tit for tat, tit for tat. That's how the world handles stuff. Okay? But we as Christians, you know what? The world, we already know, because the world going to come against us. The world going to come against us. Jesus already said his word. They hated me. They going to hate you. You know that in advance. So why are you running around here getting upset because somebody say something about you? Okay? Yeah. I mean, if I got upset every time somebody on my job, here comes a Bible thumper. Bible thumper. You know, holy roller. Oh, you're supposed to be a man of God. You're supposed to be a Christian. You know, I'll be fighting every day. Okay? And you know what? When we talk about Satan in John 10:10, "And the thief cometh but to kill, steal, and destroy," it ain't always physical death he's talking about. You know what he wants? He wants you sitting in church with your lips poked out. He wants you barely getting here. He wants you dreading the whole idea. Oh, you know. Listen. Not watching folks lead them festivals. They got stuff. Man, they got stuff. They went to them festivals and they didn't ate the elephant ears and the fried veggies and they didn't spend their money. And the kids coming out of them festivals with balloons and stuff. And they got all this stuff. And they ain't happy. It's a festival. It's a joyous time. When we come to church, we just... We can't wait to get up out of here. I watched them folks just having a great time. And it doesn't really mean a hill of beans. Okay? And we come to the Lord and he just saved our souls. He didn't die for our sins on Calvary's cross. We didn't accept him as Lord and Savior. And we just... David said, "I was glad." David said, "I was glad Sunday came around." He said, "I was glad when Sunday came around." Oh, when Sunday came around, listen, I was glad. How many in here woke up glad?
Amen.
Woke up happy. Can't wait. Hope the shower's ready and my coffee pot. I'm getting my coffee. I'm ready to go. I want to be in church. That's the just Christian joy. I want to be in church. Sitting in the car, standing outside, tapping a finger. Hurry up, Jill. Hurry up. Let's go. How many times you gonna comb your hair? Watch this. I just like reading scripture verses. Here's Psalm 16:11. This is beautiful verses. Sometimes, see, the word of God preaches itself. You can sit here and start just talking. When I start talking, I get in trouble. I read verses. I stay all right. Thank you, Vaughn. Watch this down. Psalm 16:11, verse 8, 16:8. Look at this. I have set the Lord always before me. Come on, David. Because he is my right hand, I shall not be moved. See, some of us haven't set the Lord right in for us. And the world comes and it moves us. Adversity moves us. Trials moves us. Tribulation moves us. Afflictions move us. And you're going to have afflictions. Okay? You're going to have trouble in this world. And if you think you aren't, you can listen to Joel Osteen all day and night. And he got a real positive message. Positive, positive, positive. But let me tell you something. At the end of the day, he got issues too. Okay? You mean motivational, and I ain't come out. I want a motivational. I want a sermon that motivates me. This one ought to motivate you. I have set the Lord always before me. That's what I heard. That's what I heard when I heard Teddy talking. That's what she basically said. I set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Bone marrow, whatever. Doctor's appointment, you know, my skin. I got issues with the medication. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad. Okay? Here, what's the one verse that why the outward man want? Perishes, my heart is glad. What's going on inside of me is glad. Amen. We all going through. Ain't none of us in here other than these kids in here tying our shoes fast no more. Sometimes I go tie my shoes, look, catch my breath. This bending over, like, jeez. Couldn't imagine putting on stockings. Therefore, my heart is glad. In my glory, rejoice. Now, that's the word I was talking about this morning. That my glory, rejoice mean what? My tongue. God gave us a tongue. To rejoice. Amen. To rejoice. And that's what David is saying. My glory rejoice. And my flesh also shall rest in hope. Hope of what? Hope of heaven. There's no rest for the unsaved. There's no rest for the unsaved. There's no rest for the unsaved. There's no person, you know a person that's unsaved and don't know where they're going to go when they die. There's no rest for them. You know what they're worried about? Dying. They scared to death of dying. You talk about dying, you don't even want to ride by a cemetery with some folks. Cemetery. Yeah, listen, you go in there one day, bro. Okay? We all got that appointment, and folks are just scared to death of dying. Scared to death of dying. Nah, I'm not promoting it. I'm not wanting to go see Dr. Kevorkian and none of that. But what I'm saying is, listen, my flesh also shall rest in hope, or rest in the hope of heaven. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Watch what David says now. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Well, that's a big fear, ain't it? Talked about last week, 1 Corinthians 15. And when Christ died, he did what? Took the sting out of death. We don't worry about it no more. But to the unsaved person, you know what they worried about? Their soul being left in hell. He said, my soul. He said, for thou shalt not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. David is referring to Jesus Christ. Okay? And the very fact that Jesus was resurrected from the dead, David knows if I follow Christ, and if I love the Lord, and if I'm saved, and I'm filled with the Spirit of God, I'm not going to stay in hell neither. I'm not going to even see hell. Shh. Here's the part. Here's the last verse I really want to be familiar with. Thou wilt show me the path of life. And in thy presence is fullness of joy. There's our word. Fullness of joy in the presence of God. You get out of the presence of God. If you don't have joy today, you may want to look at where you at. Check yourself. Check your relationships. Check what you're doing. Check your heart. Check the things that you love. Check the things that have your attention and your affection. Because if you don't have joy, it's most likely because you're out of the presence of God. Okay? I didn't say if you have problems, you're out of the presence of God. You can have problems to be in the presence of God. Remember the disciples, they was in the very will of God. They were doing exactly what God told them to do. He said, get the boat, go on the other side. They got in the boat, got in the middle, problems. They was in the will of God, but they had problems. But this is not what this is saying. He said, in thy presence is fullness of joy. Keep yourself in the presence of God. How do I do that? How do I do that, Pastor? Do it like Jeremiah did. Here, Jeremiah. What Jeremiah says. He said, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by name, O Lord, thy God of hosts. Jeremiah stayed in God's presence. And what was Jeremiah? What was his name? Weeping prophet. Weeping prophet. He served God all his life. And how many people he got? No people came to his church. None. Okay? But did it stop him from serving God? No. Did it stop him from declaring, thus say the Lord? No. Let's keep going. Talk about joy. I got a few. Let me give you this, because I'm getting hot. How's your service? See, there's joy in serving God. Anybody know that? And you do something for God and you serving God, there's joy. Little boy come to church. Pictures of the men of the church and women of the church who serve the church. And the little boy asked his father, said, who are all these people? All the ones died in service. The little boy said, what service did they die in? The morning service or the evening service? Stuff like that. I don't know where that stuff comes from. But we have an obligation to serve God. If we know Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior, we have an obligation to serve God. And let me tell you something. I know it ain't easy. Okay? But you know what Paul calls it? Your reasonable service. Based on what God has done for us, we have a service to do for God. Let me read the text. Paul says this. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren or sister, people of God, by the mercies of God. What's he mean by the mercies of God? You're saved by the mercies of God. If you're in here, you're saved. You're saved by the mercies of God. What is mercy? God not giving us what we deserve. We all know what we deserve. He said, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Reasonable service. Serving God in the spirit. Serving God through faith. Serving God based on what God has done for you. Think about it. There's no one else that's done as much for you as God. If you're saved, delivered, sins covered, nobody's done that for you. Your job ain't done that for you. We go to work. We serve the job. They want to put something together. We the first one on the list. Is anybody's employee? I know mine hasn't. Okay. I've been working 30 years. I've never been employee of the month. Has anybody's job done more for them than the Lord? Think about that. Can anybody's job say this? Well, by grace you're saved through faith and not of yourself. This is a gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. How about that? Serve like that. Let me give you a text on one of the great servants of the Bible. Here's a prayer by one of the great servants of the Bible. Great servant in the Bible. This is our prayer line when we think about the church. Because many people look at the church. I've been riding around and churches is closing down. For sale signs in front of churches. That's some scary stuff. Here's Nehemiah. Nehemiah got a message from his brother that the walls of the church could come down. Nehemiah was a cupbearer. He was a cupbearer for the king. And they came and told him what was going on. And watch what he says. Listen to his prayer. Listen to his prayer. Think about this. It's this prayer, the prayer of a servant of God who wants to serve God. And if you're here today and you don't want to serve God, I don't know. Find somewhere to serve. Find something to do for the Lord in your community, at your church, at your school. Like I told Justin on the football field, listen, you know, hey, something. I need to serve God. Wherever you at, you need to be serving God. Here's Nehemiah. Here's his great prayer. And he said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, Nehemiah 1 and 5. The great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive. Let thy eyes open that thou may hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. Think about that. Just like Daniel, the great prophets always included themselves in the sins of the people. Nehemiah wanted to get back. He wanted to get back to Jerusalem to build the temple, to restore the temple. And when he stood before the king, the Bible says he prayed a quick prayer. And the king's wife heard him. And the king heard him and gave him everything he wanted. Why? Because God moved on the king's heart. Listen, we've been talking about some joy of service, joy of communion, joy of fellowship, joy of the fact that you know your sins have been forgiven. Let me give you, I got one more. Let me give you one more.
Maybe.
Let me give you this one. You don't hear this one that often. How about the joy of suffering for Christ? Anybody ever thought about the joy of suffering for Christ? Is there any of us in here suffering for Christ? Think about it. I mean, if you're serving the Lord, you're going to suffer. Paul and Silas was in prison. They was in jail. Paul was always in jail. He had like 10 numbers. I mean, if he was on the streets today, he would never get a job. He'd be a felon. He'd have about 10 numbers. I hear people talk about, you know, they've been back and forth to jail 7-8 times. They'll go home and go back to jail. They was like, Paul would be, well, right in that line. Get out of jail, Paul, you're back. What you do this time? Preaching. Man, you coming to jail for preaching. We killing people and robbing people. And Paul coming back to jail, and he back in there with them felons. And then what you do this time? Preaching. Where at? Huh? I was outside the synagogue. And they put Paul in jail. Now watch this now. Here's Paul, back in jail. And to him, I'm in Acts 5:40, excuse me. And to him they agree, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, 39 plus 1, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Listen, folks. Could y'all imagine somebody walking up to Paul and say, Paul, you can't preach no more about Jesus Christ. Or we're going to beat you and put you in jail. Guess what? Paul said, put me in jail. Okay? Because that's all he knew. Paul couldn't do nothing else. I think about these preachers today. They ain't saying nothing. They ain't going to say nothing. In jail is the least of their worries. Okay? They just don't want to upset nobody. Okay? You know, I remember preaching I remember preaching in Warren years ago, and they asked me to preach. Nobody knew I was preaching. I don't think the pastor wanted to tell them, so nobody would show up. So we get in the pulpit, and then I hop up, and people start leaving. The second time. First time I preach, and I'm preaching a message. And I get off the pulpit, and, you know, a couple people shake my hand. That was a good message, man. You really touched my heart. And this one female and her friend be like, I brought my friend to church. For the first time, I've been trying to get her to come to church, and you offended her. You upset her. And I'm like, I know. I was at another guy's church, and I'm preaching. And I'm just preaching, doing what I do. And this subject of fornication came up, and I was like, hey, for this is the will of God. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, that we abstain from fornication. And I'm preaching, and the pastor's like, you're going to have this church, I'm going to be preaching to the wall, all these women in here fornicating. And he's like, and you know what? Honestly, after church was over, the women came up to me and said, thank you. I need to hear that. Thank you. Several of them. I didn't know they was all fornicating. I don't be getting into that. I don't know what y'all doing. You know, maybe some fornicators in here now. I can't sit here and say, well, you know, I can't preach that because, you know, I can't preach that. I got some adulterers in here. I got some homosexuals in here. I got some fornicators in here. And I got some folks in here that's stealing. And I got some folks in here that abusing their wives. I guess that's the hot topic anymore. You know, don't preach that. You're going to run them out. There's a joy in suffering for God. Watch what Paul says after they got beaten. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing. Paul and Silas rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name.
Amen.
How about that? Almost sound like Paul was rapping. To suffer shame for his name. Watch this now. Jesus' own words. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. How about that? Amen. Suffering comes with the job. Amen. See, this is why people, you know, you won't hear this at the mega churches. And you go to the mega churches, and they're going, well, you know, come to the Lord, there ain't no suffering, no more sorrow and pain. You know what, matter of fact, everybody here prospering. Everybody here, you come to the Lord, you're going to get blessed in this church. You're going to get blessed in this church. And you know, when the blessings, praises go up, the blessings come down. And before you know it, you're going to be driving a BMW, and you're going to be driving a Lexus, and you're going to have a nice house, and your kids are going to go to a college, and everything's going to be wonderful. And they're not telling you this. Okay? Romans 5:3, Paul talking to the church. He said, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Well, Paul said, you're going to get better. You're going to get better through adversity than you ever will through getting stuff. Paul, after going to the Lord 3 times, asking him to remove this thing from me, Paul writes this great verse in 2 Corinthians 12:10. He said, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmity. How about that? Come on, man. I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, I'm strong. See, the world condemns the weak. See, and they lift up the strong. You know. You sit there and watch them yesterday, and Ray Lewis and Randy Moss and all these guys going into the Hall of Fame. We're strong, and we went at it 100%. We was great. And the greater you are, and the stronger you are, guess what you don't need? You don't need the Lord. You don't need the Lord when you're strong and you your own man and you the self-made man and you strong and powerful. I don't need the Lord. I'm a God. I got a bus now in the Hall of Fame. I'm a God. Ray Lewis said when he was playing football, the crime rate was lower in Baltimore when he was playing football. Man, I'm like, man, these dudes say some stuff. Uh-huh. Crime rate was lower when I was in Baltimore playing and you was accused of murdering somebody. Uh-huh. And if it was me, I'd have been in jail. Well, hey, here's James, and here's James talking to his church just like I'm talking to you guys. James talking to his church, James 1 and 2, and he knows his church is going through. He knows his church is struggling. He knows people going through because when you accept Jesus Christ in that day, your persecution came. Persecution came. It ain't like today. You accept Jesus Christ and everything, nothing changes. Nothing changes. I went to church today, and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and nothing changed. In those days, they come get all your stuff. They confiscate all your stuff, and then they cast you out. Okay? These Jews, when they accepted Jesus Christ, they was kicked out of the temple. In a lot of cases, they was tortured and humiliated. You know what James says? He said, brother, count it all joy. How about that, James 1 and 2? When you fall into diverse temptations or trials, okay? Listen. Suffering's part of it. Suffering's part of it. Suffering's part of it. Let me give you this last one. I know I said it. Just excuse me. Thank you, Bob. I'm going to get you that raise. This is joy in winning souls. How about that? Anybody talk to somebody about the Lord lately? Anybody shared their faith with somebody lately? See, this is a lost art anymore. So we got tracks now. We just go in the bathroom at Speedway and you see tracks on the toilets and stuff. No, I ain't talking about that. That ain't sharing your faith. That's talking to somebody about what God has done for you. Just like Teddy was just talking about what God has done for her. He ain't share that with somebody. And if you saved me here, God has done something for you. Now, if you ain't saved, you ain't got nothing to talk about. Okay? So if you ain't talking about your faith, cry because you don't have it. But if you are saved and God has delivered you, when you think you want somebody to know? When you want to share that with somebody? When you want to tell your loved ones that's on their way to hell? And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up in the last day. How do people see the Lord today? They see it through his people, and they see it through the word of God. Okay? And we need to know the word of God enough so people can see it. Amen. When we talk to them about it. Amen. When we talk to them about the things of God, they want to see something. You talk to somebody about the things of God, and many of us have experienced this. People talk to me, because you're the chaplain, you're the pastor, they'll talk to me for a minute, and they'll talk holy. And they won't cuss around me, you know. And then I stand back, and they're at the water cooler, at the vending machine, cussing like a sailor, acting a fool. Talking about anything and everything. Let me give you one more. I'm close for real. John 5 and 24. Watch this now. Here's Jesus. People got to hear. People need the Lord. Okay? What's the old song? I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save their souls. Okay? Now here's John 5:24, and he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, and you, and you, and you, he that heareth my word, he that heareth it, hearing it with an understanding, not just hearing it, not that you got some, you know, some big microphone at the flea market and you're just blasting it. No, this is, you done got this person in an intimate conversation about the things of God. He heareth my word and believeth on him that send me, John 3:16, have everlasting life. Nothing more valuable than that. Nothing more valuable than that. Have everlasting life. Don't you want your loved ones to have everlasting life? Don't you want your mama and your daddy and your cousins and your nieces and your nephews and your classmates and your friends, your coworkers? Don't you want them to have everlasting life if you have it? Don't you want them to have it? Don't you want them to heaven? You get to heaven? Don't you want to know if your loved ones is going to be there? Have everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. You know what that means, don't you? Remember the two thieves on the cross? The one said, we in condemnation, don't you? We going to hell for what we did. Amen. And this man have done nothing, has committed no sin, but he should not come into condemnation. Those who heard Jesus Christ and who know Jesus Christ won't come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Unto life. So many people, so many of our loved ones are dying and going to hell. We don't like to say it. Oh, Pastor, don't say that. Don't say that. It ain't nice. Word of God ain't nice. Not like that. Think about it. You know, do a head count in your own mind. I know how this is probably cruel to a lot of us, and I probably shouldn't say it, but I'm gonna say it because I already stepped out there. But do a head count. Think about how many people you know that died and go to hell or went to hell. And then think about how many people you know that died and went to heaven. Which list is longer? Which list is longer? I don't know. And then, which list you on?